Okay, welcome back, episode 14. Today we welcome Scaredy Cat Vasquez and Rick Creeper. What's up, fellas?
What's How you doing, man?
Off to the side here, off camera, is Anderson B. Cox. He'll be checking out anything we need him to look up or anything along those lines. So, appreciate you guys coming back. I guess we got a lot to talk about as far as how the haunt season went.
Oh, yeah.
October and everything leading up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you got?
Oh, man. Do you want to go first?
You. I talk too much as it is. You go first.
I know, right? That's good. You have good stories, though. But basically, all that was going on in October is just a lot of traveling around, exploring different haunts and everything, and getting a lot of good footage. You know, really, I feel like really impressed about like the equipment. Like, you know, I was like really happy with it. That like I feel like I kind of stepped up from like last year. You know, just using my phone and then some like you know, kind of like cheap camera. Now I kind of develop up to like a Canon.
Yeah,
which I love that Canon so much. Oh man, and it was just amazing. And then actually having to go out of state and everything for the haunt season was really fun,
which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll save that one for later. But you know, I felt like a lot of haunts, they were just really enthusiastic this year, and just like, don't get me wrong, they're always good every single year, but this year some of the scares literally, like especially at some place, like some of these places, like literally thought I was gonna die. And that's thanks to this guy right here too. But I went to some like, you know, independent haunts, and they are amazing. Shout out to the Flesh Yard. They did an amazing job this year.
They're still in Anaheim, right?
Yeah, they're still in Anaheim. And they're just doing an amazing job. I love, like, this year's theme was like kind of like a crazy hillbilly type of thing, like you're going through like the backwoods and everything like that.
And they're immersive, correct?
Yep. Very immersive. Thank you for reminding me. and it was just amazing. Like I'm a big fan of like all the like crazy hillbilly stuff, so having to do that was really good. Acting was really good too. They had like kind of a storyline, like when you first enter, and then it's like it was really, really like it got you really involved. So every single room kind of played a part in that story, and it was really good. You know,
I remember I went there accidentally 2017. And I realized I'm signing a waiver for an immersive experience, and then midway through, I'm like, oh, they're touching us, so we took off. But
luckily, we didn't have to do that this year, so it was kind of good because I took my lady. I don't think she would want to ever do something that's signing a waiver. Like, you know, she hasn't done 17 door yet.
They didn't know waivers this year?
No, there was no waiver.
So they didn't touch you guys? They didn't?
No.
Just a regular walkthrough, huh?
Just a regular walkthrough, and it was fine though. It was still scary. I was terrified. I went through twice, and I was still terrified. But the thing that got me is like when you like drive by it, I think it's because like there's a circus tent above it, so it's like you kind of don't think it's that gonna be that long of a maze. But then when you actually walk through it,
it looks like a pumpkin patch with like jumpers.
Yeah,
you don't realize it's a walkthrough.
And it takes a while to get through everything, and everything's attention to detailed, and everything is just all the actors were really good and really involved in their characters, and they'll kind of throw in like some like random things too. Like they had some clowns in there, which to me I feel like it just kind of catches you off guard. It's like, oh, you're just expecting some crazy hillbillies. Now there's some killer clowns too. There's some like other things going on, and it was just amazing. The owners are nice people and everything like that. And
did you both feel that you did more than you thought you would, or not enough? I mean, was it productive as far as what you thought it would be this haunt season?
I did hell of a lot more going back, I think, since before the summer.
Yeah.
To a point like I'm taking too much on, but then I wanted to. I was literally working all day my day job and then shooting over to like to help Sinister Point build mazes for their attraction, The Mist.
Yeah.
And they got contracted to build the Midnight Mortuary Marys for the LA Hayride. And then doing stuff at, you know, Monster Palooza, and then doing other private events for them, the Spirit Lounge, you know, cosplaying Michael Myers. And then Haunt came. I'm like, I literally had 2 weeks off in September after doing everything all summer, and then working at Dark Harbor this year. And it came and went so fast. It was a different experience for me this year than last year, but I definitely felt like I did more with like photography, doing modeling for different characters, and just working. I worked literally two haunts this year, an independent home haunt. So it's just crazy how much I did and how many people I connected with. And it came and went. Yeah. I definitely feel like I did more. Definitely did more. So what about you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Just like, you know, being able to talk to a little bit more people this year, going to some haunts that like I've always wanted to go to, like the Flesh Yard, and as well as like experiencing some of the haunts that I've always go to every year, like Twisted Mind Productions, which is another good independent haunt company. And then of course the 17 Door is always like the best one and everything. And so that was just fun, just to kind of like visit some old haunts and then going to see some new ones. And it was just being able, I was like really paying attention, like how I caught my footage. I wasn't just trying to do like just normal point and shoot. I wanted to do a little bit of everything of like my point of view, people get to see me get scared, which is hilarious, you know, to some people. This guy finds it hilarious. And you know, and it was just I really wanted to like get like really dissect inside of the haunt industry this year. I wanted people to really understand like what this industry is about, and I feel like I achieved it. And it was just amazing. I couldn't, like, you know, shout out to everyone that's helped me out through all the time, especially Rick Creeper right here too, you know what I mean. It was a fun ride. There was a lot of stress and a lot of you know, like what's it called, obstacles in my way for my personal life, but you know, we just got to go through them, you know what I mean?
That's how you grow.
How you grow, exactly. You know, so it was really fun. And like I said, I felt like a lot of haunts like really like stepped it up to more to the max this year. Like 17 Door, a lot of the actors, they're like right up in your face. Like it's like, oh my god, like it's just like it's really intense. And it's not like to the point like, you know, like where they're like hurting you, but it's like they're just like really like they're scaring you without even though it's a hands-on maze there, I feel like they were scaring the people without even touching them. They just get really up close to them, right up in their personal bubble, and was all like just like saying all this stuff and everything like that, like saying their dialogue, like really to the point where it's all like, that's not a character no more. That's the real person.
So the acting was a little more in depth.
Yeah, felt. That's a good way of putting it. Thank you. It was just insane. Like, oh my god. Like I usually leave there like, you know, in a panic, but I actually left there sweating. I was in my car for a good while. I was like, dude, why do I keep coming back? And I kept coming back because I love it. But it's like I questioned my own sanity because it was like it was really intense this year, and it was so much fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Meeting you guys this year, I paid a lot more attention to these haunts now.
Yeah.
And I got to go to the Queen Mary for the first time this year. And I got to say, I enjoyed it because, yeah, I go to the Universal one every year. And, you know, this year it was, you know, $180 a ticket.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's a tradition. Me and my girl and my buddy Sean and his girl go every year. So I'll probably keep going, you know. But I will say, going to Queen Mary, relatively speaking, man, that was a lot more bang for your buck. A lot more, in my opinion. You know, nothing against Halloween Horror Nights, because I'll be there next year. But for Queen Mary, man, I thought the mazes were more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed longer to me.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed a little more creepier, and that could be because I'm not used to it, because I haven't been before. And the price for the tickets, you know, the way you get shuttled in from parking, it felt more Halloween to me. It felt more festive. So thumbs up to Queen Mary. And plus Rick was working there too.
You didn't get to see me, but
no, I didn't, unfortunately.
What killed me, and you're guilty of it too, everyone kept taking a picture with that poster of the chef, mm-hmm. and tagging me. I'm all, oh, that's not me.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, guilty
as charged. You did it. My both my cousins did it, and my friends. I'm like, you know, that's not me, right? They're like, oh, but it looks like him. All, dude, my gut ain't that big. But I get it. Give me props with the chef. What stuck out for you most at Dark Harbor?
The one that you were on, for Feast. Sure, because I was in the ship. Yeah, the Feast. Uh-huh. And then the one, forgot it was what it was called, but they had like a green light where it was supposed to be like water.
I think that would have been Intrepid. Okay. That was like the Scottish theme. The guys were in kilts. Okay.
That was good, man. Yeah. It felt like Halloween. It really did. It felt like a carnival setting. Something you'd see like out of Trick or Treat, you know, the street carnival there. You know, to me, that's what it felt like. So Queen Mary was probably the better for me this year.
For me, the one that felt the most like Halloween, it's going to be a toss-up between Knott's and the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride.
Okay.
As much like we talk about, I love Universal. It just didn't really, again, I'll probably go every year still. It didn't really feel like Halloween for me. And I wasn't too interested in a lot of the mazes. Mm-hmm. Like Killer Clowns, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the movie. It's entertaining. That maze was really, really, really fun. Just the color and the design. And some of the clowns had like these super powered like water cannons, and they were compressed, and they were spraying the hell out of you with water. A lot of the one clown sprayed me. He aimed at my chest, and then when I went to cover my chest, he aimed at my stomach, and he sprayed me in the stomach, and I was soaked. And yeah. He's doing like the dramatic laugh like this, and then I exit his room, and I see someone piercing through the split curtains, and it's the clown again, and he's pointing the gun at me. I'm like, hey. And he aims like at my lower back, like if I had a tramp stamp, and he sprays me again. I'm like, you mother effer. And he's laughing like this again, going, and that dude had it out to get me the actor, but he sprayed me twice. That was cool. There was us, wasn't interested. Apparently that was scary. I wasn't interested in it.
Frankenstein versus the Wolfman.
That was
good.
That was dope. Yeah. The set design. Yeah. Again, it's not too scary. It's more like set designs. Like Ghostbusters was fun.
Fun.
Wasn't scary. Creepshow was fun. Wasn't scary. The one thing I liked was the scare zone they had called All Hallows Evil.
And it
was just like Salem, witches, demons, cornstalk, harvesters and all that. That's how Holidays in Hell started. It was just an elaborate walkthrough, scare zone, then eventually became a maze. That was a fun maze, actually.
Okay. But $180, though. What do you think, man?
$180, $35 for VIP. And so parking was like $25, $35, and $50.
Yeah.
I paid the $35. Traffic, cost of gas.
Right.
I mean, that ended up being like a, $300 night for me, plus. So I was like, I love Universal. It didn't feel like Halloween for me, but I had fun.
All right, so I got a question. So you're paying $180 to go in there, mm-hmm. but as I listened to the conversation, you're like, every year it seems to be getting a little bit, better. Maybe not better, but it seems like the quality is getting more intense. Do you think that money's going to, them increasing that, having that kind of high speed, you think that's kind of maybe helping the experience, maybe?
I think a lot of the cost is going, the reason why, because a lot of people go there, and we're talking about they're building sound stages, like they're spending $500,000, $1 million on sound stages, and they get the traffic. So probably not the most scariest thing, but as far as production value, I see it. But 180 and a lot of the mazes, they cattle called us. There was a big conga line. So you don't really get to get every experience, every jump scare, but you get to look at the details. Like sometimes you'll catch the actors just standing there. I'm like, I get it. You can't get every single person. You're going to get tired. For the drive, for me, the $180, it might be a little costly. I'm going to go every year. It's just, it's getting a little pricey. Yeah. They're going to get people, so they know, hey, we know people come here, so we're going to charge this price.
Right.
I mean, I went by myself. I met friends there, and they got general admission. And Michael Santana had the Express. So I'm like, I was torn. I'm like,
yeah, right.
So all I did was I hid my pass. I went in a couple of general admission mazes right away, which went by pretty fast.
Right.
But then I'm like, 30-minute wait, 40-minute wait. I'm like, I don't have to do this. Let me pull this out.
Right.
I went with them. I'm like, hey, I got to go spend time with some other people. So to me, it was fun, but it didn't feel like Halloween.
Oh, okay.
But I still had fun. The Rob Zombie maze, House of Thousand Corpses, was... It was cool to see that, especially with Sid Haig just passing away recently. Mm. Like literally, I think a week or two before I went, I got to hang out with him, Michael Santana, for a little bit, and we lost each other. But then in the night, I was like, probably my least favorite year, and I've been going off and on since like 1997.
Mm. Wow, okay.
But I still had fun. Like I say, I just didn't care for the Us Maze. I didn't care for The Walking Dead. It's the same thing every year. It's the scare zone. Holiday's Hell was fun. Just everything else kind of just Ghostbusters was campy. It just didn't feel like, even the scare zones, it didn't feel like Halloween to me.
I felt like Ghostbusters, I watched the walkthrough for that on YouTube, and it was campy. But I felt like they probably did that on purpose. They wasn't really there to scare you. Right. It was just kind of something to be like, all right, you guys like Ghostbusters? Well, here's something just to occupy your time a little bit. Maybe another maze is probably too crowded right now. You want to go through something else.
But they put a lot of detail into that maze.
They did. It was maybe because they're able to afford to now. It's kind of like, oh, we got the money, so let's do it. You know what I mean?
Like the whole photon lasers, the cannons, that effect they did. And then they did I think neon lights. And
up against the wall.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And just the design. I mean, what do you think? Did you go on Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
What you said, fun. It was just fun.
Did you go on Creepshow?
Yes.
What'd you think of that? I mean, it was fun. Cool. It was like, but for 180, I'm just like, on the opposite side of the spectrum, like the Hayride, VIP, front of the line, $49.
Yeah.
You could do it in three hours. Parking's free. Knott's was $125 for Fastlane. I think the longest we waited was 10 minutes. We did all the mazes. I think two of them twice. Parking's like $22. I spend maybe $280 for two tickets.
A friend of mine did the what was that other one at Universal? It was like $300. It was a
private tour.
I'm not gonna do that. That's a grip. Especially times two, you know. I'm like, nah, I'm good. But I'm glad I went to the Queen Mary because that was good stuff.
It's a big carnival.
Yeah.
To me, it's something they could do probably like in the off season. Like, hey, why not do it in spring?
Right.
For like a month.
Yeah.
Because it's Halloween, but I'm like, you could do this April to like June.
Yeah, because it's haunted and everything like that, so it's not it doesn't have to be just focused on Halloween. It could be focused on the fact that there's like, I don't know if you guys are like, you know, believe in ghosts, but it's like there's spirits. It's actually haunted. Yeah, actually haunted, you know.
We'll talk about what happened.
Mike, when you went through there, did you go through a Lullaby by any chance?
That's like the kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, do you feel like there was like a presence there? Because I had some paranormal activity going on when I was like filming around there. Like,
not particularly, you know. No? Now that you mention it, you know.
Oh damn! I was filming. I was gonna film inside there, but it was weird. Like my camera battery went down to one bar, and I was like, "Dude, I just charged this. Like, what's going on?" And like, you know, it's typical like in Ghost Adventures and all the other ghost shows. Like they say, like, you know, spirits drain the power out of like your batteries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's funny you say that, because a lot of other media people complain about that.
Yep.
Lights dying, like charge, like portable lights, cameras, cell phones, just, you know, 90% down to nothing. And then as soon as they left a certain part of the ship, they're out there on the landing, everything came back to normal.
That's exactly what happened. Like I couldn't film in Lullaby, so I was like, all right, that sucks. I couldn't film in there, but I got to experience it, which it was an amazing maze. And I felt like literally so freaked out that I got scared by a fire hydrant that was just there for safety. And I was like, I walked right by and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, it's a fire hydrant, never mind. But well, then when I went to Feast, battery went right back up to full bars. I was like, what's going on? Like, that was pretty crazy. And you know, so I feel like, you know, because it is a haunted ship, they can definitely, like, you know what Rick said, they can definitely do something in off season.
Even like the landing with like the carnival, if they extend that out to like other rides. You know that big swing, the swing ride? That was at Neverland Ranch. That was Michael Jackson's. And yeah, and
I didn't know that.
There's an actual, yeah, I thought it was a joke, but there's an actual banner that says they got this from Neverland Ranch and they use it. So if they were to extend that, like carnival games, or like maybe like a dark ride, like out in the landing, like a dark ride, and then maybe some purpose other mazes out on the floor, and then have more than, have, what is it, total of 9 mazes?
Yeah.
9 mazes like that. To me, I mean, you could do this in, like, do this in mid spring to early summer, leave the sets up, revamp it, do it for Halloween again.
I got a somewhat of a related story to the, you know, the power, losing power and things like that. Justin, I went to Yankee Stadium on a tour in 07, before they knocked it down. Got a bunch of pictures, man, up in the press box, on the field.
Wow.
We went into the clubhouse. So I get into the dugout. I mean, the Yankee dugout, man. I took a bunch of pictures.
It's iconic.
Yeah, right? And those pictures in the dugout are gone.
Oh, wow.
Gone. And I know my camera. You know what I mean? So I'm checking, boom, boom, boom. The only way you delete is if you delete. It's like physically delete. You know what I mean? So I took a series of pictures in there in the dugout. Dugout towards the field, the seats, the floor, the railing. Gone.
Damn.
You know, who knows, right? That's the only thing I can think of. Like, I didn't delete any of those. You know what I mean? And they're getting ready to tear the stadium down, and how many ghosts are in there, you know, players
and
activity and everything, especially.
Yeah, so that, I don't know. Kind of related, but that kind of freaked me out. I was like, wow, man. Yeah. Exactly.
You get none of these ball pimpers here.
He's all, no.
Yeah, man.
He's all, they're staying with me.
Man. Cool, man. So, I saw you bring something, Rick. I don't know if you brought it accidentally
It's a little hot in here. I might have
to. Okay.
Time a little sweaty.
Oh yeah.
So when I worked at Queen Mary this year, I got top performer.
Nice.
My second week there, playing the chef in Feast. You know, I would wear it, but it's a medium now because I washed it twice. So I was just like, boom. So
very nice, man.
They came up to me. They're like, "What size you wear?" I'm like, "I wear a medium." And so I guess I got top performer for being, you know, stepping up, because the role I played was the chef.
Right.
So each maze at Queen Mary has iconic character, just like on Streets in Ghost Town, they have, you know, Otis, the Ghost Town Brian, everyone.
Right.
So each maze has a theme character. In this Feast, it's the chef. So what the theme is, apparently he was a real chef.
Okay.
He was a tyrant, and his kitchen staff hated him, and they actually pushed him inside an oven. They thought he died. Well, he survived the oven and died sometime in treatment, like in the hospital. So what they did was, and all the other rides have mazes have, well, they incorporated true stories that happened on the ship and turned them into mazes. So what they did was, originally it was only one chef, one spot, and they had like two or three guys rotate. On the maze, they had the chef in two spots. They had him when you get out the meat grinder, you walk through a giant size oven, you exit, then you go through like a room that's like skin from bodies, and then you go down the stairwell. And you get to this landing, and it's dead quiet, and the lights change. And that's where I jump out, and like the whole song and dance is like, how did you escape? Get back in the oven.
Right.
But apparently I did good my second week there, and they're like, hey, you got top performer in your maze. And I was like, hey, cool, thanks. I got a shirt, and I got acknowledgement. And then I got, not to toot my own horn.
Toot it, man. Shoot.
I got Outstanding New Monster for Feast for 2018 as far as cast.
Nice.
There we go.
You know, but I'm a little proud to get this signed by the, you know, David Waldy, casting manager, and other people as well. So I'm a little proud. My first year, you know, Dark Harbor, I didn't jump ship from Sinister Point. They just, hey, go out there and spread your wings, get experience.
Okay, cool.
Meet people and whatnot, and
we'll pick it back up. Justin, you want to talk about Castle? Chaos?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things I was like really excited to do this whole year was to actually leave California for a while, for like a weekend, and to go, because as we remember the last time, the very first time I was on your podcast, talked about Castle of Chaos. Right after they saw that podcast, they hit me up saying like, hey, you want to come down here? Let's make it happen. So we talked it over throughout a few months, you know, then we met at Midsummer Scream. They were there. And we kind of just like, you know, planned like a little bit of stuff and everything, talked to them over the phone, through Instagram. Then fast forward, all right, it's go time. I leave there. It was a culture shock because, you know, being from California, it's always warm around here. I was so not used to the cold. Like, it was like, by the time I got there, like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like 50 degrees.
Whew.
And I was like, oh my God. And then at night, it was like 40 degrees. And I heard someone in line tell me, this is the warmest it's been all week. And I was like, the warmest? What? Like,
and you're wearing skinny jeans and a hoodie,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, wearing skinny jeans and a hoodie, you know. And I'm just, like, freezing. And I feel like that's what, like, amped up the fear a little bit more. Because I was like, I already feel vulnerable out here. Like, I might freeze to death. Now I might get scared to death. But I went to two of the things that they offer. They offer, like, their normal 5 levels of fear. Haunted attraction where you get to go, you pick your level of fear.
What are the different levels? So, I'm asking.
Yeah, so like the first one, I think they give you like a glow stick necklace. Sorry, they give you a glow stick necklace, and it's kind of like a reflective. So like, let's say if you're getting too freaked out with the monsters getting close to you, you'd be like, oh, the necklace, and be like, oh no, and they run away. And then level two is just like kind of like normal, which you experience like at Not Scary Farm, Universal, all that stuff. Then 3 to 5. They're putting hands on you. You know what I mean? So it was pretty crazy. Like, I'm not going to say too much, but like, as soon as I walked in, I felt like a tap on the head. Like, not like a big slap, but it's like something like you do, like, you know, if you have a kid and everything like that, like, you know, like, hey, don't do that. Boom. You know, you hit him in the back of the head.
Take out the trash. You forgot to take out the trash. I'm like, bam.
Exactly.
right.
So I felt that. And like, most of the guys knew me. So they're like, oh, just because you're filming, don't mean we ain't going to hit you. And I'm like, oh, damn. All right. For sure. Dog. And it was pretty crazy. That was like for the first night I was there. And then the second night, that's when they offer this one thing where it's you spend the night inside the haunt, which spend the night kind of like you think like, all right, I'm going to get a chance to go to sleep. Nah, you ain't going to sleep. You know what I mean? From 10:30 to about 7:30 in the morning, you are theirs. You are like you sign a waiver. They film you reading it out loud, which I felt kind of embarrassed because I was like, I don't have a good reading level, so I was like, how do you pronounce this? You know, you have to sign it, you have to show them ID and everything like that, you know, you have to be sober, of course, and then, like, you get to pick, all right, so, like, levels 5, that's, like, level 5 is, like, their max one that they offer to the general public, but then from here, it's 7 to 10.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they just skip 6. You know
I don't know
I mean?
That they went beyond 5.
Yeah, no, they like you know.
Damn.
Yeah, you just skip 6.
That was the Crucible, right?
Yeah, that's what it's called, Crucible. Thanks. Sorry, I was so excited about talking to her, I forgot to say the name. It's called the Crucible Experiments. And Crucible, meaning it's like trials and tests, you know, like certain things come at you and like to see what forms and everything like that. And so we sign the waivers, we go through there, and 10:30 we walk in, and it's like we're like you're walking through the maze normally, but then at one point actors see, because you get different colored glow sticks to show what level you are. So our glow sticks were like a lot different than anyone else's, so everyone knew like, oh, they're part of Crucible. So as soon as like they felt like it was ready, it was a good time, they're like, all right, they just take us and we go into like the back, like the like behind the scenes where they have like secret rooms, like other rooms that are not offered to like the actual normal participants of the normal haunt. And we get messed with a lot more harder, and it was just insane. And the one thing I liked about that is that since we were going through it first, like normal people in front of us and people behind us, like if we caught up with someone and then the people that caught up behind us, they got to see what was going on with us, like a good part of it. So it's like you get to see, it's like, all right, like right now I'm going through as a level 2 because I don't want no one to touch me. I wonder what it's like as like for like people who want to go higher. Boom, there's your exhibit right there.
So if you ran into a certain group, you saw the different levels of immersion.
Exactly. And it was really intense, and I feel like it was like really like increasing the fear of like those of like people who are curious of like, I wonder if I can handle that. Wait, that's what they're doing? No, I can't handle it. Like, oh, maybe I could, or like, you know, so however the person feels. And it was intense, and I was pushed beyond my limits. I was done. I was emotionally and physically drained at the end of it. I lasted from 10:30 to about 5 a.m. Like, yeah, like 4:55, 5 a.m. And
weren't you guys wearing like
yeah. Thank you for reminding me and everything like that. It's weird to talk about it because it's like I'm not traumatized, but it's like when I actually start thinking about it, it's like oh my god, I can't believe it. So like I'll lose train of thought because everything just comes at you at once. Like I was wearing a hospital gown, and I was just in that in my boxers, and yeah.
The ones are like split in the back.
Yeah,
they can see your tidy whiteies.
Dude, like, they saw the whole back, and I was like, I felt sorry for them. It's like no one wants to see this, you know what I mean?
I'd feel so vulnerable wearing that.
I was. It was extremely vulnerable, but it's like I knew I was in good hands because you know, they really take the safe word seriously. So it's like even if they think you said it, they'll be like, wait, what did you say? They're like, they'll stop and like, wait, what'd you say? Hold on, what? And they're like, oh no, never mind. All right, cool. Keep on going. You know? So like I knew I was in good hands. And it was just intense. As you can tell in the video that I posted up on my Instagram and in the video that I did about it, like I have a shock collar on me. Something that you put on a dog. And they have a controller and they like every yeah. And like I had it on for like almost an hour. And like every few minutes they like turn up the voltage, or they turn it back down, and they'll shock me every now and then. And I'm having to walk around. Well, not really walk around. They're like kind of like pushing me and like dragging me to places. And every now and then they would shock me, and like I would fall down because like it just hurt. Like I couldn't take it. I work at a pet store, and I have to sell these things to people sometimes. So now I'm gonna be like, yo, dude, are you sure you want to do this to your dog, man? Like I know what it's like. Dog.
I have one for mine.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, dude, like that thing hurts.
I saw that video, and I was like, damn, I had no idea George Lopez was into these extreme haunts. I saw this bobblehead, bed hair. Yeah, George Lopez hair. I'm like, look at that waterhead. I was like, and I realized it was you. I'm like, and I saw the collar. I'm like, you're wearing a doctor. You're wearing like a hospital, like a gown. I was like, were you in shoes at least or just socks?
No, I was in shoes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in shoes. But they got like all like messed up and everything like that, all dirty and like sometimes a little wet and everything. But it was insane. It was crazy. I want to do it again. And I like people who want to test out. I kind of figured out like there's like different types of people out there. There's people who don't think about their pain tolerance and people who do. And then inside the people that do think about their pain tolerance, there's two different groups. People that are actually willing to go out and test their tolerance. And then people who are just like, you know, like, yeah, I wonder, but I don't want to do it. So the people that wonder like and actually want to test it out. Crucible experience is by far the best one. I'm representing them right now, Castle of Chaos.
I like how they have the different levels. So
yeah,
and then you said like you're in a group, you can see the different levels.
Yeah, I was in
like,
a group
in action. So you're like, oh, this guy's doing level 2, or this guy's doing level 5. Why is this guy naked and like in a doctor in a hospital gurney? It's like, whoa, it's like like that. That's so you can actually see it. So if you're considering it, you're like, okay, I could come back and redo it.
And it was amazing because when I walked through the first night, I saw someone that was level 5. He was put into a bathtub with ice, and had a bag over his head. And I thought he was like one of the actors playing like a victim. But then like I was filming it and like they were using his real name. Like a girl was like, smile for the camera, Ricky. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's a real person. Oh my God. Cause I saw the glow stick and I was like, no, that's a person. Oh dude, that's insane. Like, so they're just showing it to you. They're like, you know, yeah, they're going to keep most of it a secret, but they also want people to be like, yo, this is like a little sneak preview of what's going on. And
that's cool. Man. You got to see other people's experiences. Yeah. Walking through.
I was in a group with mixed levels. It was me and two other people that were level three. And then two other people were level two. So they weren't getting messed with, but me and a few other people, we were getting like pushed around and everything. And then with the Crucible experience, people behind us got to see a lot more, and it was really more aggressive. And like, I felt like I was in there for like days. You know what I mean? It was so long. And the things they made me do in there was like crazy. I don't say made me, but like I signed up for it, but like, you know what I mean? Like the things I did in there was like, I never would have expected this, you know, but it was fun. I was safe. You know, James and Chris out there, that work for Castle of Chaos, shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for the wonderful experience. It was insane.
So you actually, you did the mercy word.
I safe word, because I just couldn't take it anymore. One thing I'm not afraid to admit though, I cried. I like literally like broke down and cried. I wasn't like sobbing, but like there was a part where like I was just so emotionally drained and physically drained. Like my body had nothing else, didn't know what else to do. And tears just started coming down. I couldn't stop it. And then that's when I was just like, you know, like they talked to me, they made sure I was okay. They're like, are you all right? You're right. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Let's just go back in there. And I was like, all right. So they put me back into like what they called like the therapy room, where they would have us waiting until like they came in and picked us out one by one and do stuff to us. And then like after being in there for like another like 10 minutes, I was just like, you know, I'm done. Like, you know, I called the safe word. They're like, all right. And then they sat me down somewhere and they're like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you all cool? I'm like, yeah. And they talked me down, brought me back into reality, which, you know, I wasn't too far from it, but it's like, you know, that's something that like a lot of extreme haunts do. They'll talk to you and they'll be like, hey, you did a good job. You know, this is one of the guys, the actors, his name is Kevin. Kevin, he works at like Jamba Juice. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what I mean? Like they let you know, it's like, yo, it's all just pretend. And it's like, you know, it's all like, what's up, man? Like I had a good, like heart to heart talk with one of the actors.
You mentioned they had actually medical staff there, right?
They did. James is and actually a lot of them worked had in the CPR medical shirts too. Yep. Right? Okay. They had some CPR, people who are licensed to do CPR. I don't know the proper term. You know what I mean? And it was insane. It was crazy. I don't know, like with you guys, like kind of getting into the haunt industry and everything like that. And especially you, like not kind of getting into it, but already been into it. Mm. Do you picture yourself at ever one point ever doing something like this?
I could see myself possibly doing like acting a 17th door.
Uh-huh.
Cause you know, I like to be vocal. I like dialogue. Yeah. I like to mess with people. Like when like just laughing at them, sometimes I approach them, they get freaked out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about choking people, putting their heads in water. I mean, maybe it's someone I don't like, maybe. Yeah. But, I would like to do like something like that. There's different levels of experience because mm-hmm. I could kind of gauge it, but like, I don't want to go in like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't,
yeah.
You touch me, I'm going to touch you back. It's like, right, but if right. I could do like a level three, okay, I know you're going to grab me and maybe put a bag over my head. Okay, cool. But like,
you
I was like,
you're probably going to lose me. If you put the bag over my head, your actors are
serious. Someone told me, yeah, right. Someone told me that the 17 door did like a latex wall.
They did. It was,
so it was intense. It was like, they had you pinned against the wall. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like metal frame and that latex. And then they press it against you. Then they vacuum out the air. Then, and they tell you, okay, take a deep breath.
Bleep that, man.
I would start breaking sets. I would start tearing through the walls and all those fake, the eight by four particle board. I would have tore all that shit down. It's like,
it was funny. I went to 17th door before I left to Utah. Like, so I was going on, I think I was going like the weekend, I went the weekend before I left to Utah. Cause I was like, all right, I want to like do something extreme here where I know what's kind of going to go on. And I know the people before I go out into some strange state where I don't know anyone and I'm by myself and I'm dealing with other people that like I've only talked to online, which don't get me wrong, I still trusted them, but it's like, still, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, you know, when you're like doing stuff like that, and if you're paranoid, your mind just wanders. So he's like, oh, I don't know what could happen. So I was like, let me do something here. And when they did the latex room, I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought I could hold my breath for a long time, but no, they were like, it was.
They said, everyone told me it was like the longest 10 seconds.
Yeah. of their life. And I knew that, like, you know, some, like, women with makeup were there before me, because you could see, like, lipstick and eyeliner and even an eyelash, too.
Fake,
like,
eyelashes
coming right at you and sticking to you. And I was just all like, oh, God. My biggest concern was, like, I hope the lipstick doesn't get on me. So when I come home, my lady's going to be like, where was that lipstick from? It's like, no, hold on, let me explain. So there's this latex wall.
You'll be hooking up with those haunt hoes.
All them haunt hoes. Oh, my God.
What other haunts did you hit this season?
Oh, man. Queen Mary, not Scary Farm, which you were right. I wanted to jump in that part where it's like, it captures Halloween exactly.
Pumpkins, fog, lights, the decor.
And what me and you always talk about is that it's the scare zone of the Hollows is always, every single year, it's getting better and better and better. I feel like they're like kind of projecting it slowly because they want to test the waters.
So what's the theme of the Hollows for those who don't know?
It's like basically like colonial era times, like, you know, witch trials and everything like that. And like they actually have like a witch burning session, like a burn, not session, but like what's it called? Like a,
it'd be like a trial. Like capture the, they're looking for the witches the entire time. They're coming up to you saying, keep an eye out. And you actually see like the colonial soldiers marching in formation with drums and the witches shackled. And they do like, you know, you've been accused of this, this, and that. It's very like Sleepy Hollow-ish. They even have like a headless horseman. Apparently they burn the witch at midnight.
Yeah, right at midnight. And
and that's right. That's in the area that the Pumpkin Eater maze is at. Yes,
which is the best maze ever.
And they're really developing that area. It's a funny story because, you don't mind me jumping in.
No, dude.
I was there with a special lady friend. And then we were like in a little corner having a moment. And it's kind of like, yeah, baby, I'll buy you funnel cake. Don't worry about it. And like, you get all the toppings you want. And we're having a moment. And the scare actor comes up to us. He's like, yeah, get some. He's like, yeah. And he's like, everyone clap for them. And people were clapping. He's like, get a room. The scare actor is telling me that.
Yeah.
He literally followed us all the way out the maze. I'm like, man, I hope this is someone I know. It's like,
all right. It's like, get that text message like, yeah, Ricky.
They're really developable with pumpkins, and they play the music, the score from the movie The Witch. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very like, it's like colonial, like, you know, 1300s or whatever. A lot of TriStar hats, and you see like harvesters. The sliders were jumping out of everywhere. Just like, they're really focusing on the area. I'm like, this is going to be the new ghost town. Well, in a colonial era. And then
who knows? They actually might, just like Ghost Town, they'll do a personal maze for it, because Origins was by far the greatest thing that they've come out with, because it's like they've always done, like, you know, they talked about the Green Witch, then they had her own maze, and then now it's all like you have like this notorious scare zone, Ghost Town. Now it has its origin maze that you get to experience firsthand.
How everyone turned into monsters.
Exactly.
In Ghost Town, the town of Calico, how the witch became.
Oh, my God,
and, like, you see, like, how the signature characters on the streets developed through the maze.
Mm-hmm. And this is where?
And not Scary Farm.
Not Scary Farm. And so hopefully at sometime in the future, you know, they'll be like, all right, now here's the Hollows, the maze, and everything, you know? So it's like, that would be kind of cool. Do like a little witch trials type of thing, which I'm pretty sure they've done. No, they haven't. Have they done that before?
I mean, they do like the hanging of like the show, but it's campy.
No, I mean like a witch trials maze.
I don't think so. I mean, other people have done it, but at Knott's, I don't think so, dude.
Yeah. One group of people that did a good Salem's theme maze was Twisted Mind Productions with their maze called Salem. It was not what I was expecting, but in a good way. And it was like kind of like I was expecting, like, all right, like a normal haunted attraction. It was going to be kind of bright, and like you're going to be able to see a lot of good setups because, like, you know, Zion and Dave, they make some really good sets. And but no, it was dark. It was, they gave you a candle, not a real candle, like the one with the switch on the bottom.
LED candle.
Yeah, thank you. And they give you a candle, and they're like, have at it. And they're like, all right, for sure. Me and my lady went in, and they're like, you know, it was kind of immersive too, because they're like, all right, pick a door. So you get to pick your own path. And literally,
that's cool.
You go in there, and it is dark. I did that for Pongo Joe, which is who's an awesome person to talk to as well, too.
I actually met him at Dark Harbor. So we've been friends. He's a slider. He works all the different parks. He does his own makeup. He has his own character. He gets contracted to work different theme parks. He worked Dark Harbor this year. We've been chatting on Instagram. I'm dying from the haunt plague, and I'm about to throw up. And I walk in the bathroom, and I see this dude doing his own makeup, and I sound like this. And I'm like, hey, we finally meet, this and this and that. I'm excusing while I throw up. So I'm literally throwing up in the stall next to the mirror where he's doing his makeup. And I was just,
Wait, what's the haunt plague?
Haunt plague, excuse me.
Yeah, that's like a term. I've never heard that.
So the haunt plague, what it is, picture like the flu on top of like the common cold with just exhaustion and just dehydration.
Oh, man.
And I got hit hard on Queen Mary this year with it. There's something about that air. There's some bad juju on that ship. There's some ghost stories I got to tell you guys about. But something about the recycled air on that ship and then the ocean breeze, it just... It came through. It came and went, and people were dying from it.
I thought that was a figure of speech, bro. That's
no. It's Willie. I literally was like, I had a cold, like flu-like symptoms. I was dehydrated, and I wasn't sleeping properly.
Yeah.
And then you get up, and you're sweating all night, and you go outside. That cold air hits you. The day they actually sent me home early from Dark Harbor. I went to Target, bought a bunch of Pedialyte, and I was doing everything I was supposed to do: cough drops, Metal Hunter's Kit cough drops. You know, eating raw honey tea.
Sure.
Eating right. And it's that day. I just didn't feel 100%. I throw on my costume. I'm sitting there in the queue to get makeup done. And I put my backpack over there. And I'm sitting here and there's makeup right here. I get up and I'm kind of a little woozy. And I walk over to the makeup chair. I sit down at their elevated chair. So I felt a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
As soon as they hit me with that airbrush and my eyes closed, I just felt like I was going to fall out. I grabbed on the artist's arm. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm not feeling too good. Let me go get some air. So just walking 50 feet to my backpack, I'm like, either I'm going to pass out or throw up.
Right.
So I'm just sipping on this Pedialyte, and it's room temp, and it just tastes like salt water. But I need it, and I start guzzling it. And so I see one of the talent supervisors. Her name's Amazon. She's an amazing woman. And she looked at me. She said, "What's up, big man?" I'm like, and she's about this tall. You know, I'm 6'4". I'm like, I just need someone to lean on and walk me to the bathroom. She's like, "You got to shit, throw up, or piss?" I'm like, "All three, probably." So she walked me in the bathroom, stopped at the door. And that's when I saw Pongo Joe, and I said, "Hey, what's up? I'm about to throw up." I threw my brains up. Walked out and I sat in a chair from the bathroom. I must have been white as a ghost. Everyone's all, "Hey, what's up, chef? You okay?" I'm like, "I'm all right. I'm all right. Leave me alone." My haunter's
voice. Yeah.
I drank that Pedialyte and I was sweating bullets. I was just drenched in sweat. I was hot. I went from being just overheated to like chills. Like my body wasn't sweating anymore, sure. And I was shivering. They sent me home and I was driving home. I downed that Gatorade and water and everything. As soon as it went through my system, I had to pee. I was a sign of dehydration. I went home. Closed all the windows, turned the fan out, put sweats on, got under the covers, and I was shivering. I was shivering the entire night. My body just shut down, and that's probably the worst case of haunt plague that I had. I didn't even get it last year. My voice was a little raw from since the point, but I just seen that, you know, we're all in a group chat for Dark Harbor, like news, what's going on. Everybody was dying. Everyone was dying. But you know what's funny was two things. In Feast, apparently there was a female ghost, and what the actors did, because that maze has been there for 3 years.
Yes.
So what they did was supposedly the female apparition that haunted that part of the ship. So what the actors did, they offered her food, candles, flowers as a peace offering. They extended the maze, and I always heard them talk about it, and I saw the little shrine. I'm like, whoa, okay. So two things. I was in my little area, the area that I jumped out and scared you. And what did they rigged me up a gag, 4 strobe lights and like some speakers to create like thunder and lightning. It was on a trigger. I'd hit it, time it out, and I'd jump out and scare everyone. Just thinking about it. So I'm sitting there and the break room is behind me. And what they did, they tarped off my area to make like a little closet. And I hear a woman harmonizing going right here, up in my ear, my shoulder.
Here, just.
I'm like, I like to debunk everything. I'm thinking, okay, a lot of the girls are voice actors. They'd like to be vocal like me. Maybe they're on a break. We rotate every hour on the break. Maybe they're warming up their vocals. But it's right here and the break room is way over here. And I hear, you know, everyone, you know, gossiping, talking, whatever. And that moment, like, no guests were coming to the maze. No maze managers, no talent, nobody. And it was just dead silence. I mean, like, eerie. And, like the volume just dropped. And it didn't feel like I was by myself, but I was. I'm like, it's a little too quiet. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I said this out loud. This is your home. I'm just a guest. I'm here just visiting. I mean, no disrespect. And a couple minutes later... And again, a porthole might have been open or a door.
Yeah.
The tarps are around. They start kicking like this. The tarps start moving. It's I'm pushing them back to fix them. I'm like, it's just the wind. And it kept happening. So there was 3 chefs, but we had 2 spots and the 3 rotated. So Tim is the main chef. They're the dude. He's the dude that's using the ads and all that. He does all the media. I'm like, hey, boss, I got a question for you. And I tell him what happened. He's like, you know what? I didn't feel bad like I was by myself. And I heard someone like farting around behind the tarps. I'm like, yeah, me too. So the second time, I'm coming through the maze with my backpack on, with my costume, got my backpack, my hunter's pack, got all my stuff, whatever. And I'm coming down the stairs, and it felt like someone grabbed my bag, or my bag got hung up on something. And so, like, I kind of snapped back, like, hey, what's going on? Like, I thought maybe the railing or something. I looked back, there's nothing there. Then I felt like that force of being released, and I almost tumbled down the stairs. I'm like, whoa, happened twice to me. I'm like, okay, whatever, nothing of it. But that made my hair, you know, back in this, the hair in back of my neck stand up. A week or two later, I'm standing in the same spot, and I'm looking at the stairway I chased you through. The entryway that goes down, the exit way that goes down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And there's the red, there's the green light here, the little pin light, and there's the one over here that I adjusted. I shouldn't, nah, fuck it, I adjusted it. I adjusted it so people know where to go. Because they have a light in the corner, and the guests were getting lost. I'm like, you know what, let me just, a quarter turn, there's the stairs. And I'm looking, and sometimes my contacts, you know, we're regular contacts, my contacts swim, and you get little floaters in your eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the doorway, and it looked like gray fog, kind of just like shimmering in the doorway. I'm like, we got no fog machines in this maze. I'm amazed my contacts are acting up. So I'm like this. I check one eye. I check another. I'm like, whoop, it's still there, both eyes. And it's just like, it looked like something wanted to manifest. Mm-hmm. And it was like gray and black smoke that was just like, and again, that dead silence, that quiet, just.
Yeah.
So apparently at the end of the maze, they open a door that hasn't been opened in 30 some years. That was door 13. Excuse me. Door 13, a person actually got killed. He was like a crew member. And that started the legend of Half Hatch Harry. Apparently his ghost still haunts the maze. Or the ship. So Dark Harbor has the bright idea of actual like legends and ghost stories of people that died to turn them into real characters in the maze. Hence the chef, Scary Mary, Samuel the Savage was a real story.
Yeah.
And now Half Hatch Harry. So this new area in the maze is haunted as hell. And coincidentally, all the actors down there were getting sick as hell, getting hurt, or hearing their voices. A dude I worked with last year, since your point, he ended up at Dark Harbor, like just I did as well. And he comes up and he's running up the stairs and he's half hatch hairy. He's got the prosthetic split, the eye, and he's dressed like, you know, old timey clothes. He comes up and he tells me, I just heard someone call my name down there. Everyone was getting hurt in that position. We kept hearing code blue or code green, someone's hurt, either a guest or actor. Mm-hmm. All the actors were falling out, getting hurt, getting sick, hearing noises, hear their names get called. I'm like, and one of the actors who's been in that maze since it opened, he's like, man, as soon as they opened that fucking door, we got bad juju in this maze. And he's like, we haven't had this many accidents. We haven't had many people getting sick. There's something going on. So it was just like, they open up that area that's been, hasn't been touched in 30 years. And that's where that accident happened. You're sending people down with different energies, different vibes. There's spirits in there. They might not like what's going on.
And especially if you're like kind of making a character out of one of them, you know, he's probably thinking like, what do you think? This is like a joke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I died in this room. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sure. You're going to like have someone pretend to be me and like showing like one half, like all like messed up and the mm-hmm. other half all normal. Like it's some, I don't know. It's really interesting that you said that. I had no idea that it's been closed for that long before that.
Towards
you know?
The end of the maze.
Yeah. So it's, that's really interesting that you would say that. Maybe it is, like, yeah, definitely, I believe it's some bad juju.
And you got all these different people intoxicated, people just hanging out, people going through. People were complaining about things happening. And then I never said it was a woman's voice. I said, hey, I heard a woman harmonizing. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys was, yeah, the spirit that haunts this part of the ship, it's a female woman. And they took the story of that female woman and they created Graceful Grace. She's another character that's inside the ship.
That's the one that's all white and has like the blonde
in the bloodstained dress. Yeah. So they take these actual ghost stories and create characters and they put them on the ship, just like Scary Mary really happened, mm-hmm. girl that drowned in the ship. So my friend Ernie was a maze manager this year at Queen Mary, Dark Harbor. And he managed the B340.
Oh my God.
So, and that maze was creepy as hell. So he's like, hey, you want to go see the real pool that the legend of Scary Mary, the good little girl drowned? I'm okay, let's go check it out. So he takes me across this catwalk. And it's just like this catwalk's maybe about, I don't know, 3-4 feet wide. And we're going over the hull of the ship. And it's just like the belly of the ship. It's dark. It's dingy. Just two of us walking through. No lights. We get to this door. And you can tell it's old. Wooden paneling. And what's cool about the ship, they don't really have to put a lot of props or designs up. They just utilize the ship and some lights, maybe some fake facades. So we're going down this hallway. And we come to this window. And he's like, look. And it's this door that's framed out with a glass partition. He's all, that's the real pool where Scary Mary died. Again, dead fucking silence. And we're whispering. I'm like, why are we whispering? He's like, I don't know. And it's dead quiet. There's no wind. It just didn't feel right. I'm like, hey, let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's like you get. I remember I did a tour like back in middle school and stuff like that. This was like years ago. And they took us to the pool area. And we got to go there twice because I did one tour that was kind of theatrical where like they had like crazy lights and special effects that made it seem like, oh no, the ship's being haunted right now. And like they had like the part where you go to the boiler room and it makes it insinuate because there was like an explosion there, I'm guessing.
Don't correct me if I'm wrong, but it was called The Great Ghost and it got torpedoed once.
Yeah.
And people died in the belly of the ship. And apparently when they did EVP investigations, they caught like, you could hear like twisted metal and people screaming. Yeah. That ship's over 100 years old.
Yeah, I mean. So it was reacting that moment where the ship gets hit and then all the pipes just like, boom, like blow up and like overheats and stuff like that. And then we went to the pool and they did one because like they say that that pool area is like a portal to like the spirit world. So it's like they did like a little special like things. And then we did another one where it's like we actually went up on that catwalk that you were talking about. We went up on there and that was the more serious tour and it was quiet and but even both times for the special effects one and then the normal one, both times, me and my friend that went with me, we did not feel like comfortable in there. And then we actually went into B340 before it was renovated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a room.
What's the history behind B340?
A man died in there, I believe.
So what it was, B340.
Killed himself, killed his wife.
Samuel Savitz was a passenger and he terrorized staff, he terrorized guests and the, you know, like the port authority or the, you know, whatever authority they have on the ship, the security locked him up in this room. And they opened up the room, he was gone, and it was just blood, like claw marks all over the walls, and he disappeared. So they took that character, Samuel Savage, and they created the Maze B340. So that room's actually haunted.
Yeah. And when we went in there, it was basically like before you renovate a room, it looks all teared up. There's not even paint on the walls. Mm-hmm. It's just messed up. And they're telling us the story about it. And like me and my friend just started like feeling like just really weird. Like we're just like, we just want to leave this room. Like, cause right when we walked through the door, we felt like we just like, all right, I feel anxious. I don't want to be in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we left, that anxiety went away. And
there's a lot of things going on the ship. And then they bring this attraction. You got all these people coming in and out. They said the closer it got to Halloween, the more shit happened. And I noticed that. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be here Halloween. So hell no.
Yeah. All right, Rick, that Gravedigger Joe. At 1870 Haunt Manor, is that what that is?
Haunt Manor, yeah.
Haunt Manor, sorry. Yeah. Gravedigger Joe, correct? I got that right.
Yeah, that was it. So 1870 Haunt Manor was, it's literally the address of my uncle's house where my little cousin lives.
Really?
And he got the haunt bug going to Midsummer Scream. He practiced, he's a slider, he goes practice. He's 15 years old.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to build my old home haunt. I'm like, okay, he's going to put up some tarps and some janky ass Spirit Halloween, you know, decor. This kid went on YouTube, saw videos. He framed out walls. He painted. He came up with a concept. We walked through the maze. He stole pallets from like Stater Brothers, I think. And then he obviously took donations. I gave him a Home Depot card. Well, don't do crazy. And he bought lights and all that. And he literally designed this thing, a little walkthrough maze with a yard display. And he came up with a concept of like an old timey manor. And the story was like this rich man married a young widow that had a young bride that had two kids. And on Halloween night, he went crazy and he killed her and the kids and he disappeared. And we developed the story and it's going to extend to next year. So every Eve, you know, every anniversary, which is All Hallows Eve, the kids come back from the grave. So does the bride. So the gravedigger, he's attached to the property and he's undead. He's like the crypt keeper. He tells a story.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want you to be a gravedigger, like an old timey gravedigger, overalls, a flannel and all that. So I'm like, okay, so you're going to tell a story. And he built me like a little scare zone. And so he was scaring. His little brother was scaring. He had one of his friends as well. He went and downloaded music. He built the whole thing. He wanted everyone to get makeup. I'm like, no, we don't have time in the budget. And I'm like, I'll get makeup done for my friend Jessica, who did the Handsome Devil and who did, you know, the skeleton character for Phantom Carriage. And he had a media night and friends and family night. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, really?
Right.
And he ran it on the 26th and he asked me, hey, can you come work? I know you're at Dark Harbor this year. Can you come work it? And I was like, okay. So I told Dark Harbor, hey, after today, did you get the week schedule in advance at Dark Harbor? I'm like, hey, I'm not going to work the last week. Thank you. I'm going to go work in my cousin's little home haunt and I'm going to finish the last 2 days of the haunt with Sinister Point Work in the Mist. Excuse me. So we developed this character, like this old timey gravedigger. And we did kind of like ghoul makeup and I wore like a kind of like a derby, like a,
yeah.
and just coveralls, and I just out there digging. Mm-hmm. And we just literally bought like just soil, and I like, just kept repurposing the soil, and I told stories, I messed with people, and then I'll jump out of the cemetery and go in the maze and scare people. But he came up with the concept, and he's like, I want you scaring here and here. And I'm like, oh, you're an maze manager now. Okay, you're 15 years old. I was like, right on. But I'm proud of him. He did it all himself. He created a concept. Job. He was out there running, sliding in the driveway and the sidewalk, scaring people. I mean, we were scaring adults. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're going to give me free range to like do things? He's like, yeah, okay. And some adults, like, you know, somewhere like had drinks. They're like, oh, you know, trick or drink. I'm all okay. And they were getting a little uppity. So I threw grave dirt on them. And then they walked by and talked trash to them.
Nice.
But it was fun. I'm proud of them. What's funny is I've already got approached. I'm like, hey, can this character appear at my display at the Hall of Shadows this year in 2020 and Rinse and Scream? I'm like, well, we'll see. I'll be doing other stuff. I got asked to do that. But he wants it to be a recurring character. He wants to extend the maze. So I was like, I think he has a future. He has a future in this industry. He's going to end up at Knott's. I already know it. We went to opening night for Knott's Scary Farm. And he loved it. And just, he wants to be a slider. He wants to keep building. He's already planning out next year. I'm like, we're still in November. It's like, but it was fun. I had fun with it. And I created my own dialogue and it was fun. The makeup was cool. I was there for the 30th and 31st. But, as far as my little nephew, Michael, he's a good kid. And if he sticks with it, he's going to have a future. And if I do my own thing one day, maybe I will, maybe he'll be one of my builders and head designers. Who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Sounds like you're about to work for him. Yeah.
Yeah. He had me working. I'm like, hey, can I get breaks? Do I get paid for this? Yeah. I'm like, you know, I got to get paid tonight and go working somewhere else. You know that, right?
Well,
pass
the break room.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's like, hey, I need you to stay in immersion with people. I'm like, oh, you're telling me what to do now? Oh, okay, thank you. It's like, he's a good kid. You know, it was fun. I have to admit it. It was more fun doing that than working Queen Mary. Queen Mary was a cool experience. It didn't feel the same as last year. Maybe because your first experience is always the most memorable. I didn't have that much creative control. I was, you know, hired obviously because for a specific role and I fulfilled it. That's why I got the awards. But having that creative outlet with Gravedigger Joe, that was fun. Just developing something from the ground up and having my own banter and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. So you were there. What'd you think?
I loved it, man. It was fun. It was a nice little, like, you knew, like, it was like a, it's like when you go to a mom and pop, like a restaurant, you know, it's like that good home feeling. But which is with blood and murder.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
It was a really dark story. Like
it was like, we went in there, like me and my lady went up in there. We just thought we were just going to walk through, but no, he stopped. Like your cousin stops us and start telling the story. It's like, oh, there's dialogue. And I was like, you know, like when kids go like school and they're like story time, I'm like all ears. I'm like, oh, what up? What's the story?
They made their own gloves, their own shaker cans.
I was looking at the shaker cans. He painted a thing
himself. I mean, he just, I mean, the backstory extends. I don't want to give away too much, but the extends, and he had an air gag. I got him a compressor. So he had an air gag on a trigger. So people walked to a certain part of the maze, he would get them. He had pop-up windows. We didn't get to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had his little brother in there, and he's just like a creepy little kid with a candle. I'm like, just tell your story. It's like,
yeah,
good kid. I'm proud of him. I took him to the hayride this year. He loved that. I took him to Knott's opening night. And he was literally going to school all day, come home, and he'd work till 10 o'clock at night building this maze. Wow. He did all of it on his own. But as far as finance, he had a little bit of help. But hey, you know, you get investors. You
got to start somewhere, you know? Yeah.
I mean, for first year, I was impressed. And people were screaming their head off in there. I'm like, you know, this is someone's house, right? It's, you know, but even like the simplest lighting, I'm like, hey, just tweak this, do that, do this, paint this, paint that, you know. Use this type of music, get something that looks antique because it's supposed to be a mansion from 1930. And that was the theme. And I was like, and it was funny because I was getting people didn't want to come in. I'd walk off the graveyard, go into the driveway, and I had the shovel and I was scraping the shovel across the driveway, creating sparks. And I was like, whoa, and people were freaking out.
Yeah.
Or like I heard someone's name, I'd call their name. They're like, I'm not going to go in there. You know, the little kids, and if they're a certain age, I wouldn't really scare them. Right. But like they're, you know, 11 years and older, I'm like, fuck them kids. I'm going to get them all. It's right. Like, you walk through, fuck them kids. You're going to get your money's worth.
That was like in the mid haunt season, that was like the catchphrase right there.
Fuck them kids.
You know what I mean? Cause that video, you guys see that video that went viral of like I think it was like from Universal Studios. He was scaring like a mother was walking one of her little kids and was scaring him. The kid was running and staying with the mom. And then
it was a street actor.
Yeah, and then scared a kid in a stroller too. And like the kid's like buckled up in the stroller, so like he couldn't like go anywhere.
This dude was jumping everywhere. He was just like he looked like the boogeyman. He was jumping around everywhere. And he goes up to the camera, and then it said "fuck them kids."
And the caption just said, and it was by far.
We kept saying that all. I was like, yeah, fuck them kids. You come to the maze. It's like some kids. I mean, if they were tiny, I'd mess with them. Like one kid came through on Queen Mary, and he was like lit up, like, "Dad, it's the chef." And I was making fun of him. I'm like, "We're gonna make soup out of you. You're too skinny." And he's like, "Oh," and his dad's like, "The chef's gonna get you, Mom. Get in the pot." And the little kid's like, "Yes, chef." I'm like, you know, the kids are geeking on it, but some of them are like terrified. I'm like, "Ah, I'm not gonna."
Yeah.
I got one last question.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So we got one last question here. Talk about the haunt season. You guys obviously, you know, been here a few times. Mm-hmm. Talk about the haunt season. We're giving out the Grammy right here. So you guys are giving out the Grammy. Who's had the best haunt this year?
As far as like
the best experience, I guess the over the top guy. Who's the top guy this year from you guys from your?
Oh, like the top haunt?
Yeah. Oh, this year. So we all year. You guys been talking. You going here? This we've done. You gone through them. So far, who was your number one?
You can go first.
Oh, okay. I don't want to sound like, you know, like a. Like, I'm like, just because I'm wearing their stuff, but Castle of Chaos is by far like the most. I know, right? Like, I'm sorry. Like, SoCal Haunts and everything like that. I love you guys. I always love you guys. You know what I mean? But being able to experience something that pushed me to my limits like this was by far the best. And Castle of Chaos, I'm working on like a tattoo design for you guys, man. I'm trying to get branded for life with that stuff. You know what I mean?
What about your SoCal experience?
SoCal, 17th door all the way. 17th door, man.
I'm going to have to, so I can't say Queen Mary because I work there. I'd be too biased, but that was a great experience for me personally. I'm going to split it three ways. So just based on these reasons, since your point, the Mist was very unique. It was a scavenger hunt amongst a haunt, and it was a 30-minute experience. No one's done nothing like that. It could be a different experience for everyone based on your interaction with the characters in there, or if you just wanted to get scared, or if you're geeking out on the sets, or you actually were into the scavenger hunt. Hayride, I love the build. It felt like Christmas. It felt like Halloween. It felt like Halloween, like in a Midwest town, like kind of like a Halloween hootenanny, like hay barrels, hay rides, and like, you know, just pumpkin carvings. To me, Knott's definitely stepping up this year. The whole park felt like Halloween. It just, wherever you went, there was pumpkins, lights, there was characters, the scare zones are developing. But as far as like Halloween vibe, I'm going to give it off to the Hayride for uniqueness. I'm going to say Sinister Points, the Mist. All around, just nostalgic vibe. I'm going to say not scary for him.
There we go. That's a good way to do it.
Okay, so now that we're coming up to the end of the year, what's next for the two of you?
You go first.
Oh, man. Just keep an eye out because we got some stuff in the works. We got some things cooking. What else? That's about it. Yeah, we just got some stuff cooking, man. Like,
can we talk about that?
We can talk about it lightly. Yeah.
You want to talk about
it? All right. I didn't
want to. I'm gonna let you control that because I'm so excited. I would say everything. Yeah. So you
want to talk about it? So
I'm gonna get back on the Creepcast. It's gonna revamped. It's gonna get revamped as far as audio, the way I'm gonna record it. I already have a couple guests lined up. I'm digging it. I didn't really have time to focus on it during October. What I'm trying to put together, and we talked about it off and on, is doing a immersive film festival. And if things work out, it's going to happen in December, and it's going to be film festival / haunt immersive experience with photo op, food, vendors, whatnot. And if things work out, everyone here is going to be involved.
Sure.
So we'll see. I've been working on it. I told myself I'm going to take a week off after haunt. I don't want to talk about spooky business projects. I don't want to do nothing. That lasted maybe 2 days. And right away, messages, emails, meetings, going here, going there. So if things work out, this is probably going to happen around Christmas time. Originally, it was going to happen in November. I had a little private meeting, changed the concept, pushed it back to December. I'm like, no one's doing what we're talking about. I can unofficially say I have a lot of people already on board as far as actors, vendors, and food trucks and production people. So,
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I didn't know if that was a hush hush, but hey, I'm glad it got out there.
It's
man.
Out there. Let's, and then if people don't like them, I'm like, fuck them kids. It's like, it's my project. Yep. I'm going to do what I want.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, let's hopefully do it. That
let's
happens.
Do it.
So.
Let's do it, man.
Mm-hmm.